So I've got a little bit of a hot take about Essendon, actually.
Okay.
And so let's be honest, right? I think if Brad Scott stays another year, some of those senior players, mate, they're going to be on the outs. They're going to want to quit the club, I reckon.
Jeez.
Like, I'm talking Nick Hind, you know, always the sub. Maybe even even Sardis, a young guy, not getting a game. And Sam Draper just got managed.
You know? Well, we.
You got to say he's gone. You got to say, oh, he's gone. Because that's like, that's the bit. You know, oh, he's gone. Because that's what they said about Bailey Smith.
Right. No, he's gone. He's gone.
He's gone.
But here's the thing, though, about these comments, right? And hello, everyone, again. It's nice to be back.
Yeah. Oh.
The comments he made were such nuffy podcast comments. And even us as like amateur podcast guys are allowed to give him a bit of shit for this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, just saying that senior players that aren't getting a game might leave.
Yeah, it's just like Caleb Daniel, man. Like, come on, bro. Like, what's that guy need to do to get a game?
It's such lazy podcasting. It's kind of like when we don't watch the game and just try to talk about it. Like, exactly. That's pretty much what he did about the podcast.
That's going
to
be us this week, mate. Let's be honest, mate. We've had a busy weekend. But know what, man? It's good to be back in the old studio. Look, I love the new one, but this, you know, this is kind of like home.
Bit of nostalgia.
And we got to congratulate Dino formally on the pod. Daddy Dean has officially become a daddy.
Officially a daddy,
so,
yeah.
So there we go, man.
It's been a very busy month.
That's it.
Don't know how often I'll be on the pod, but hopefully as often as possible.
So it's a welcome return. I miss your little quips and whatnot. You
I'm
know?
Ready to go. I've had a few locked and loaded for a couple of weeks. So
I love it, man.
I'll try and unleash in spurts today. Yeah. We'll see how we go. Yeah.
And this is also a little name day surprise for Georgie. So that's the reason why we couldn't record with him. But happy name day, George.
Happy name day, George.
And I don't know if we're going to tell him about this until we upload. Just as a little
surprise.
Surprise for him. Yeah,
nice,
you know, just a little J up for him, you know.
To him.
Yeah, Kronyopola. He will not expect this.
Christos Anesti to everyone as well. All exactly. The Greek Orthodox Christians, yeah.
That's it, yeah. You want to jump into...
We will, but I feel like you should take over the Adelaide game to talk about your boy, Jake the Snake Saligo.
Jakey the Snake Saligo, man. I brought him up in my Supercoach draft. I've been trying to peddle this guy. Like, I've been going, like, come on, Saligo for this, Saligo for that. No one was biting, right? No one bit the snake, right? So, no one was biting for the snake. But then this week, man, he went crazy,
The snake
man.
Did the biting himself.
The snake was injecting the venom this week, man. He looked good. Like, the thing with him and what I enjoyed about him, I for some reason thought he was just this high-energy player with not much polish. But when he gets the ball, he measures himself. You know what I mean? He measures the situation. He'll stop. He will make a little kick. Even if the kick's not 100% accurate all the time, you can see that this dude has time and space in the contest, which, you know, that's what the best inside mids, you know, that's what they do. So, right. Yeah, Jake the Snake, man.
Dare I say he was more led than Laird was on Thursday night.
That's
no disrespect.
Definitely on this day, he was more led.
No disrespect to Laird, who also had a pretty decent game, but like, he was looking more like Laird out there than Laird usually does.
Yeah, because we are Laird enjoyers. I'm definitely a Laird enjoyer, but now, man. Jake the Snake might be the premier midfielder that they're building around, you know, and he should be, to be honest with you. He's still young.
And it's interesting to me because last year when they weren't playing Crouch, it was the whole like they want to get more legs in the midfield.
Yep.
And he wasn't getting such a role that he is right now.
No.
But now this year when Crouch is back, now he's in there.
Yeah, that's it. The mix is, you know, I think they're kind of getting it right, man, you know.
And I think their coach is Nix. Is that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Nix, he's had a slow start, tried a few different things.
Yeah.
The wins weren't coming. And now Adelaide seems to say, you know what? We figured it out. A bit of a mic maneuverage from Matthew.
Yeah, I know. Look, this, like, you know, we digress a bit from the game, but this, we're trying the new mics. And the lack of movement that I can have on these couches, because I'm a mover.
And can I just quickly comment on the mics, by the way?
Yeah, 100%.
So, as someone who hasn't been in the new studio yet, it looks fantastic. So, well done. Anyone who's not watching on YouTube, I recommend you just check it out.
Yes.
Very, probably the most pleasant on the AFL podcast from a fan I've ever seen.
I think there's a couple things that we've got to do to sort of make it look that bit better, in my opinion, but legit.
Oh, like, look, it's up there. I see other AFL fan channels from teams or just general pods, and ours honestly looks up there as one of the best ones.
It feels like a radio show is the way I feel. Like when I'm in there, I feel like I'm in a, you know, in a professional setup.
I will say really cool. I do feel a bit like Luke Beveridge getting roasted in the post-game presser with the mics just in my face right now. I feel like I'm under fire.
True.
I feel like I'm under fire. We'll get to that.
The pressure's on, mate.
Pressure's on me right now, but it's okay. It's a good environment.
Yeah, it's good.
But yeah, back to the game. So I feel like Adelaide was trying different things starting the year, and they've just realized, you know what? Let's do the old basic throw plays in their best position, and the wins are coming. So you guys kind of wrote them off on the pod a few weeks ago, rightfully so at the time.
And that's what I was thinking. But now we have to slow our roll. Won
three of their last four, and the narrow loss was to Essendon, right?
When you look at those games, right? So Essendon, was it Carlton, which is the other close win, and Port, you would have ticked away at least two as losses. But now two out of the three are wins.
I would have bet, at the time I would have said Essendon, you'd win at home, and Carlton and Port, no way.
Yeah, no, exactly.
But they've won two out of the three of those and then beating North, so that's three out of four. And they're back in it now. So they're currently sitting two wins out of the eight. And I know it's a really hotly contested eight, so it's still unlikely that they'll get in. But good on them for getting their season back on track.
Yeah.
For sure.
And another thing I want to say about them, right? They are clinical, man. I think you look at the forward line and it makes sense.
True.
Tex Walker, highly skilled player. Rankin, highly skilled player. Rochelle, he has a few, you know, misses here and there, but he's still a very highly skilled player.
Yeah, he is.
And Dawson, you know, a goal-scoring mid, pops in, gets a couple goals. They're like... efficiency going forward is killing teams, because you look at Port's, you know, the behinds, and I'm sure you got some stuff to say about Port, because we know how Dino loves, you know, Port and Ken and the lads. What do you got to say, mate?
My thing is this with Port, right?
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm going to extend this to the last game of the round, which is Gold Coast. We're talking your local derbies here, right? For me, in these games, you cannot get blown out. And I know it's only 30 points in the end, so like you can look at it and say, okay, it wasn't a blowout. They just missed a lot of chances. But anyone that was watching that game would see that Adelaide was always winning that game.
Yeah,
they just looked the better team. They wanted it more.
Mm.
And you can look at the missed opportunity. Like 5 goals, 18 is woeful. Correct me if I'm wrong. I didn't see rain on the TV.
What's that?
I didn't see rain.
No, I don't think so.
I didn't see sideways rain.
Nah.
I didn't see any of that.
It wasn't like the Sydney derby. It wasn't like that game.
No.
This game was clean.
So
from memory,
18 scoring opportunities Adelaide had. Port had 18 behinds. That's all shocking. Right, some of the players there, like Boak, 0 goals, 3. Burgoyne, 0 goals, 2. Heaps of guys on 0-1. It's just poor. And Port Adelaide just quietly have had a few disappointing losses. Like big lead against Collingwood, threw it away.
Yep.
Didn't show up to this game. I don't know about it, man.
My thing with them, right? So the forward line obviously comes into question. But this week there's going to be a few changes, right? So what's his name? So Charlie Dixon in this case, right? Didn't have a good game. They're going to have Ollie Lord come back into the team at some point. I don't know if you remember him from last year, but the back end of last year, he was excellent. You know,
he had a few good games. Yep.
Yeah. Finlayson as well, you know, depending on, you know, if they see him fit to come back in, he might come back in. So look, I think there's some changes to be made there. Todd Marshall, I believe, got injured, and Georgiades might have got injured as well. Yep. So there's going to be a big shift and a big shakeup. Hopefully that will get the balance a bit better for him, because I don't know, Dixon trying to, you know, mark everything and not quite having these best games, it's not working.
Yeah, and I think it just goes back to my other comment. Like, you're playing Adelaide, who on their best day and on your best day, you are the better team. This just tells me they didn't show up. They just weren't on it. Adelaide wanted it more. Did it for Rory Sloane, apparently.
Yeah.
And you know what? We've gone enough without talking about the biggest talking point of the game, which is the Rozzie situation.
Ooh, yeah. That's...
All right. Now, we've kind of joked on the pod many times about Ken Hinckley, Luke Beveridge. These guys are cut from the same cloth, mate.
Yeah. Like, they're old blokes, mate. Toughen up and get out there.
And this is a greater point I want to talk about, which is, I don't know, this year more than ever, there's such injury mismanagement going on. It's actually pathetic.
Yeah.
So you look at Libba, right? Libba, that incident a few weeks ago, he collapsed on the field and they let him keep playing. All right?
Yeah, that's crazy. And then look, again this week.
This week.
He looked dazed.
You commented. We were watching it together.
Yeah. And I said it as a joke, right? I said it as a joke. But then later on it comes back as, oh, he actually, he was kind of a bit stuffed up.
Exactly.
So
Connor Rozzie clearly wasn't right all week. Everyone, including their own fans, are just saying, don't risk it.
Yeah. And you know, this is so captain of the club, right? So obviously important player, but also the player who relies on his burst as well. Maybe not relies, but burst is a big part of his game.
Yep.
So
exactly right. And he did not look right from the get-go. Then he goes off for ages and they're not subbing him out. And he's testing it. He's trying to run. Like, Just call it.
Exactly.
Like, what have you got to gain by pushing through and then missing the next few weeks, which he's going to do now?
And soft tissue injury. It's not like it's a – I know there's certain injuries that players can play it out, but this is not one of them.
Ridiculous. And another example is Hopper from Richmond. Mm. This one could have just been chance, but he's come back a bit early from his knee and then he's had an issue with, again, soft tissue. Like, clearly the leg wasn't conditioned enough. Like, he's like, okay, the knee's fine. Let me start going full intensity. What's like, it's a long season. I know there's other codes like soccer and that have longer seasons, and basketball for sure. But like, you've got another week. It's 1 week. It's not going to change the course of your season to just get your best players right.
Yeah. Like, what do you, it's like, would you rather have them for 1 week?
Correct.
You know, lose them for 1 week or lose them for five?
Correct. And like, you can comment on the depth of certain teams, like Sydney, for example. Luke Parker has been good to go for 2 weeks, dominating the VFL.
I know, 230-plus disposal games in the VFL in a row.
And he's better off for it now, rather than forcing him into the first team where the intensity is higher, the demand is higher, and potentially getting re-injured. You'd rather have Luke Parker in his prime in the second half of the year than pushing it early.
It wouldn't even surprise me if you did another week in the VFL, mate.
Because
that team
what?
Is so good, man.
And if you're,
where are you going to put him?
Correct. And if you're Port and you're the Doggies, you need to just think long-term. You both want to play finals. And now you're seriously compromising that, especially the Dogs.
100%, yeah.
So, I don't know. For me, that's just like, if it's a brutal sport, if you're not right, you're not a macho man for trying to play through it. Unless it's like a finger or something where it's not,
or if
you know,
it's
just a bit of pain or something.
Yeah, or if it's a prelim final or a grand final.
Different story.
But this is round 8.
Season's over after that if you lose. This is round 8. The byes are coming up. Come on, man.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Anyway. But yeah, shout out to the Crows. Shout out to the big showdown win.
Yep.
And now, the next huge game that happened this week.
The real reason George isn't on the pod.
Exactly. I know. We said name day earlier, but that was cap. This is because Georgie couldn't stand to talk about how amazing Nick Daicos' clutch performance was and how the midfielders didn't step up. Cripper went to bed. What did he do, mate?
What did he do? Jeez.
Yeah, no, he didn't have a good game,
didn't
man.
He
didn't want any of that smoke. Walshy didn't have his greatest game either. Got a lot of disposals, but wasn't efficient with it, as shown by his Supercoach score. I traded him in, the Malacca. But anyway, but look, that again, man, that was another fun game, bro. That was another fun game. You know, just momentum swings, 3 or 4 goal swings here and there. And eventually, the former Premiers come out on top.
And you know what? Like, it's cliche to talk about it, but that winning goal from Daicos was insane. Like, such a hotly contested ball up. Like, you knew that one of the teams had to win this ball. And not to not only win it, but to get on the outside and finish like that on the run, it was just exquisite.
And he had a similar goal. I don't know if it was in the first or second quarter. It was like foreshadowing, to be honest. And I remember the umpires being, how can you let this guy run at it alone in this contest? It happened again. They didn't learn from their mistake, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, with that goal, that's probably like the 25th best, you know, moment of his career. You would think any other player, that's the best moment of their career. But this dude just, he keeps shining in the right times, man. Like, it must be fun to be him, man. I'll tell you that.
And that's the key point, is like at the right times, like match winning displays. Yeah. It's different than just having a good game. It's that next level of just heroics.
Exactly.
Building the legacy, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, they do the traditional, you know, the typical pan the camera to dad going crazy, which is mad, you know what I mean? Like,
and he gave the up yours as well.
Did
you see that? Love it. Let's talk a bit about Carlton for a second. Now that George isn't here, we can have an honest chat about it.
Yep.
Not that George isn't honest. He's usually pretty level-headed.
Yeah, but then there's certain things where I think he's a bit deluded.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit like, you know, maybe not deluded. Deluded is not the right word. That's too heavy a word. Sorry, Georgie. But like, you know, he thinks that certain things are bigger problems than what they are. He,
you know
doesn't appreciate the, you know, what they do have sometimes.
You know what it is as well? I think last year, probably rightfully so, has given him and other Carlton fans the calmness to know that if and when they hit their peak, which hopefully again will be in the finals, they are a very good team. So a few losses in close games isn't the end of the world.
Yeah.
But I'll give them credit first, Carlton. They've been primetime television the last month.
They have, man.
Every game has been a banger.
Cardiac Carlton, mate.
That Cardiac
just, it
Carlton.
Hasn't, you know.
Take it back a couple of weeks ago, the 2-point loss to the Crows, right? Then they have a great game, beat the Giants.
Yeah.
High scoring games too, mind you.
Yeah, true.
Always
true.
Around that 100-point mark, close game is just what you want as a fan. Then they go ahead and they lose to Geelong, again a close game.
Yep.
And now this week they lose to Collingwood. Entertaining, mate, but They've lost 3 out of 4.
Yeah, that's...
So, after being the team that always wins the close game, they're not doing that this month.
No, no.
And what's it done to the ladder? It's put them in 8th.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at that now. Jeez, man. Okay. Now, look, can you remember round 2 or round 1, whatever it was, when we were, you and Georgie specifically, not me so much, but you and Georgie were going crazy at Freo, and now they're the same points as Carlton.
Essendon. Yep.
And Essendon. And now Essendon are 2 points above because of the draw, and Freo are above Carlton. Correct. Oh, sorry, not above. Same as Carlton.
Correct. And Collingwood's marching forward, so they're going to be in the 8 in no time.
Mate,
the other teams aren't showing enough. So let's say the top 9 teams are all pretty competitive at the moment. I still think Carlton aren't a danger to miss the 8, but what I'm saying is anyone who has intentions to win the flag wants to make the top 4, wants that double chance.
Yeah,
they're not going to get it at this stage. They're close. Don't get me wrong. They're a win away. I'm not writing it off, but if you keep having these close games and not getting over the line, you pay for it later in the season.
Yeah. That's funny because we're talking about those top 6 teams. I don't know if you remember mentioning on the previous pod or two, there was that top 6 teams that, you know, we think are guaranteed.
Yeah.
Not the case anymore, man.
No.
It's burst wide open by this round, which is amazing to me. This is awesome. It is. It's fun.
And look, again, I think they can do it. They are a very good team. They're all close games.
Yeah.
You can lose some of them. It's not the end of the world. But again, George says it all the time. You want the points on the board. They're not getting them this month. They need to get back on track. We'll talk about their matchup this week, which is another big one. They're playing Melbourne.
Thursday night.
They're playing Melbourne. So again, they could lose again. Then they've lost 4 out of 5. And then at what point are you like, shit, you just wait for the easy teams and then you beat them? Like, no one's impressed by that.
No, no. You know what I mean? No. So it's not really filling us with any confidence for them going into the postseason.
It's a very interesting state of play at the moment. I did want to just say as well, Scott Pendlebury, man. This guy, he'll have a few quiet weeks and you're like, yeah, fair enough. He's getting old. Mm. And then he just has a few weeks where you're just like, how old's this guy again? he's nuts, man.
He has certain like clearances and moments in games where you're just like, man, it's like...
Class above.
Yeah. It's the same bloke still. You know what I mean? Like hasn't aged.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Do you reckon he could probably go another season, man? And I don't want him to because then he'll probably beat Boomer Harvey's, you know, record.
I don't care if anyone beats Boomer's record because it's not anyone's fault except those who didn't extend his contract.
Yeah,
he could have kept going.
Yeah, true.
He could have played 500. True. So let's don't trigger.
Let's not talk about that too much.
Don't trigger.
I know I have. Sorry, bro. I know I'm good at that.
But yeah, no, great win, Collingwood. They're well and truly back now.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Got no issues with them.
That's the statement win, I think. Yeah. That's the one.
And mind you, sorry, just quickly, actually, no Mitchell, no Dugowie.
Yeah.
And Myhajek's out now.
Yes.
So their depth is being questioned and they're still just playing like next man up football, which is great.
Yeah, and you know what? The guy who was the next man up was first gamer at 26, Lachie Sullivan. Mm. He looked fine out there, man. He looked very comfortable. I think he had 8 score involvements in the end.
How long has he been in the system? Because he looked very ready.
Well, he's been playing VFL. I don't know if he's for Werribee.
Yeah.
Or who it's like he's been a captain for, I can't remember which, he's been a captain in the VFL for years basically.
Yep.
So he's been, you know, building up his body, you know. He's also, I think he was an electrician as well. So, you know, that's physical work as well. So, bro's ready to go. Yep. You know what I mean? So,
love it. Next game. So, Sydney, very good win against the Giants, considering it was a slow start.
Yeah. Well, the story of the game for me was, you know, as soon as the rain hit, Sydney and their physical presence was just ready to go.
Mm.
And GWS, partly to no fault of their own, because they lost Tom Green earlier.
Yeah.
They don't have Cornelio.
Yep.
Those are their top 2 inside mids. You know what I mean? So without those two, you're forced to put Peatling in there and a few other dudes, you know. Kelly's getting time in there. Callahan's getting time in there.
Yep.
You know, they're not those physical wet weather footy type dudes.
Yeah.
Let's be fair. They're the guys you want on the dry day where they have that class.
Correct. And it's one look at the box score here and says it all, right? So Grundy dominated.
Yeah, he had like 11 tackles, which he loves. It's weird. He's probably the most wet weather ruckman of all time.
Yeah.
Because he's like calling card is the physicality of the contest.
Yeah. Doesn't need the aerial presence so much.
Nah.
He's up there. Heaney, Warner, Goulden, Rowbottom. So basically the midfield and ruck just feasted.
Exactly. Can you imagine if you had Luke Parker to that? You know what I mean? Like,
they're a good team, man.
It's too much, man.
Jimmy Jordan's there as well. You know.
Yeah, Jimmy Jordan.
Taylor Adams doesn't even need to be on ball full time to have an impact. So, You know, and then Haywood stood up, four goals. What do you think of the Sydney forward line? Because they've got McLean, Amati.
Yep, they've got Logan.
Haywood.
Logan McDonald.
McDonald.
Yeah.
Do you think it's good enough this year? Because no doubt they're a very good list and people have them in top four for a reason. Do you think it's actually good enough to win the flag?
You know what? I don't think it really matters because Collingwood's forward line, you can't tell me that's that much better. Like Majacek and Jamie Elliott, guns, right? You know, understated, you know, sort of star players in their role also. Mm. You know what I mean? They're not superstar. They're not like, you know, Charlie Kerno, Toby Green forward line type players, but they play their role really well.
Yep.
I feel like these guys can do something similar. You know, Haywood is amazing as a pressure forward, right? Mm. I think he's very underrated. Then you have, you know, guys who can all take contested marks. Three dudes who can take contested marks.
That's the big thing for me.
Mm.
Yep.
And then who are the other small guys? Weeks, you know.
Papley.
All right, their forward line's fine. There's your answer. Yes, they can win with that forward line.
Yep. And the defense it's got all the elements you want. Bit of dash, bit of aerial presence, and so on.
Yeah, low-key McCartan's having a great season. You know, he's been the sort of the physical guy back there, you know. And then, you know, Blakey does a bit of everything. You know what I mean? He does a bit of intercepting. He can, you know, defend bigs.
Yeah. It's not an over-reliance on Lloyd anymore. Like they've got Florent. Roberts.
Yeah, Roberts is a fine kicker, the footy as well. They've got a stacked team. Rampy's
still there.
Yeah, and he's fine. So,
well done to them.
Yeah, build up that team nicely with the assistance of the AFL Academy.
Yeah.
I digress. That's a fair play. Look, I think we've kind of said it all about GWS in regards to, you know, the outs that they had, that was the game really, I think. Would I be concerned for them, you know? A little bit, because it shows that their inside grunt depth is not quite there with the best teams.
Yeah.
Let's be fair.
And it makes sense when people have just been picking the players that they can't afford to extend pretty much every year.
No, you're right. Toronto, Hopper.
The depth naturally goes.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, that's fair.
But it's still a problem. It's still a problem. So, I'm not too concerned though.
Fair enough. Look, there are some dudes. I think there's a guy called Roaston. Who's in there? Yeah, he's another inside mid who they have, you know, possibly who can come in. I don't know if he's that good, to be honest, but I'm just thinking like other dudes who might be ready to go and help him out. Callum Ward's still there, but he's, you know, he's getting a bit old.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't be too concerned if I was GWS just yet, you know, but it's two losses in a row against two really good teams, which won't feel good. And, mate, you could tell by Kingsley. Did you see him on the... heated. The sideline, mate. That is the scariest coach just about ever.
See,
like I know there's people who can get angrier, and Mick Malthouse had that deathly stare to him. But this dude's jacked as well.
Is he like the new? He's like the new, and not body shape, but like the fear that you'd get, like looking in Kevin Sheedy's eyes or like Lee Matthews.
Yes, that's
Kingsley's got the look, man.
Yeah, but and it's not so much in the face because he doesn't have a scary old man face. But when he comes up with you with a freaking this jacked bloke,
he kind of looks like your uncle that just knows beat like Brazilian jiu-jitsu somehow. That's crazy.
Yeah. He must be doing psalms or something. I don't know what this guy's doing, bro, to get that big.
You know, but it makes sense. Like, why aren't more AFL coaches in that shape?
Yeah, you got a free gym facility.
Yeah. B, stressful job. You know, get rid of some stress by exercising.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of poor that so many coaches don't look like that.
No, you're right. You know, mate, calling out the AFL coaches, man, like, you know.
Hey, man.
Kingsley set the standard for you guys.
Man. Just saying, man, if I had a free gym facility, I like to think I'd make the most of it. Not that I'm a gym. I'm not a gym guy, as you can see, but I don't have free gym facilities. So
that's the thing.
That's my excuse.
Free is different.
And
man.
I've got a kid now, man. Like, come on.
Yeah,
give me a break.
Fair enough, man. Kingsley probably doesn't have any kids. Let's be fair. Kingsley's a single guy. He just goes to the gym straight after
he's
work.
He's out in the town in Western Sydney. Right? Yeah,
mate, that's it, man. That's it. And you got to be jacked over there, bro. Otherwise, you're going to get into some trouble, bro. He knew what he was doing. That's why he's the right man for the job.
He's ready. He's ready.
All right,
I'll leave it for you to talk about this first because you were at the game. So tell me about it.
Yes. All right. So for this game, I'm looking at the score now. We lost by 38 points. I don't feel as horrible after this game, as compared to the previous losses.
Yep.
You know, the Adelaide loss, I felt deflated, right? I'm just like, I was bewildered, right? The Hawthorn loss, same thing. You know what I mean? You just feel shit afterwards. This game, Maybe it's because I went with one of my best mates, Chris Michaels. Shout out to him, man.
Shout out, Chris.
You know, he'll be listening to this one. Maybe it's because I was with him and we were just vibing and it just wasn't as bad. You know, we're talking shit, talking about my Supercoach team. He was talking about his tips and whatnot. Whatever, you know, we're having a good time, right? But, you know, you can see the structure of this team moving forward and you can see players playing in their right positions and, you know, being effective. You know what I mean? So I'm not as... Yeah, that's my feeling of this game, you know.
You're well justified in that. And someone who watched from home, and even just like sometimes you look at the stats and it really reaffirms how you felt. And this time they actually do, right? So let me tell you what I'm seeing here.
Yeah.
I'll break it down quarter by quarter. Quarter one, 4 goals to Saints, 3 to North.
Yep.
Second quarter, this is when they had the edge, 4 goals to 1. Mm-hmm. Third quarter, 4 goals to 3.
Mm.
Last quarter, 3 goals to 3. So it was one quarter we tied. Two quarters, we lost by one goal.
Yeah.
And just one bad quarter.
One bad
and then
quarter,
it just, the score worm even just sort of creeping up. Mm. And in the end, you lose by 6 goals or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So this is why we don't, and I agree with you, we don't feel as filthy with the team. Yeah, because you can tell they just tried their best.
Yeah.
And they just weren't the better team.
Mm, exactly. If this was round one, I'd probably be pissed because we have more expectations. But as North fans, it makes sense. We've readjusted our expectations on the team. You know, and I think there was about at least three goals that, you know, like Hardwick said shit goals, you know, he said that. There was two against us at least. There was a Nick Larkey moment, brain fade, where he could have hand passed it over the top and given it to, I think it was PC in the goal square and he shanked it, right?
Yep.
There was that. And I feel like
he dropped the chest mark as well.
He dropped the chest mark. I think, you know, if we're going to talk about, you know, our grievances of this game, I think Nick Larkey, first half, that's the thing. That's the one for me. Like, he was poor. I don't think he took a mark in the first half. And if he did, I didn't notice it. Mm. But he dropped plenty. I'll tell you that.
Yep.
In the second half, a bit better. Did he end up with 2 goals or 3 goals?
He had two.
Two goals.
Are you getting disposals as well? He's playing more up the ground in the ruck a bit as well. So that explains it.
Yeah, that does a bit. But yeah, I don't like him in the ruck, man.
It scares the shit out of me, to be honest with you. Because if he does an injury, we're even more screwed than we already are.
Exactly, man. So that I don't like. But I wanted to mention to you this funny moment in the game, right? Where I'm going to have a guess about where whereabouts it was, right? I reckon it was... It would have been either late in the third or early in the first, right? My mate Chris, he goes, mate, time to bring on Toby Pink, change the game, right? And I start laughing, right? And then all of a sudden, Toby Pink has the ball in his hands. I didn't even realize he was on the field, right? He gets the ball in his hands, hand passes off, dishes it off and gets a goal assist, bro. I lost it, bro. You know. Toby Pink changed the game, baby, you know, in the forward line. Well, so that was interesting.
Let's briefly talk about him being the sub. It's probably the least sexy sub of all time, both in looks and attributes of a player.
No offense, Toby Pink.
None at all. I love Toby.
Yeah.
But what the hell? We all North fans saw him as the sub. Like, dear God, like, why? What have we done to deserve this?
I know.
But
man, our sub picks Fisher the previous week.
But you know
week,
what?
Toby Pink this
week. This one had the best impact of them all because... Yeah. I could see the thinking, if we were somehow in the game, which we have been against the Saints last year, then you maybe throw him back to solidify if you've got the lead.
Yeah.
If you need, like we did, a few more goals or a bit more presence, you throw him forward. So it's actually not the worst sub I've ever seen.
Mm.
I want to have a quick chat about the Saints because otherwise I'll ramble about North too much and then I'll come back to North and round it up, right?
Mm.
And that might have set it up like I was going to be positive, but I'm not.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Oh, good. I like this.
Now, nothing too bad. Firstly, I just want to have a bit of a crack at our boy Webster. All right. Now, fitting that he returned this game, right?
Mm-hmm. And he had a few shanks as well.
The first quarter shanks made me just standing ovation in this living room. Right? It was amazing. But I just wanted to say, I get when a player leaves your team, and then the other, like, your new fans cheer and your old fans boo.
Yeah.
Like, that's normal, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, stuff that guy for leaving. Oh, no, cheer him because we love him now.
Mm.
Get it. The whole, you knocked out our captain in a preseason game, North fans booing, we're going to retaliate by cheering, is the most flog move from a fan base you could do.
That's fair.
That's not showing support to your player. That's like your cheering assault.
That's a bit
like,
cool, man.
What are we doing here, man? Yeah. Like, if you want to, like, North fans want to boo Mason Wood and then you cheer Mason Wood, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's fair game. Mm. Oh, this is just rubbish, man. Nah. I was fuming on it because obviously they're louder than the North fans. Yeah. I'm like, why am I hearing cheering, you flogs?
That's fair.
Was Chris cheering?
Well, nah.
Good. So. Nah, Chris wouldn't cheer. Nah, Chris wouldn't cheer.
He's a good dude, man.
So the overall Saints supporters are just deadbeats. Mm. Right? Anyway. Yeah. So hey,
you know what? One chant that I did like from them is Mason Wood.
That's fair game.
That's mad.
That's fair. That's fair. I love Mason Wood. Mm. We, man, I'll never forget the memory.
Yes.
We were at a Greek
event. Yeah. Yep. We're at the front.
You were a bit tipsy at the front. I was just arriving.
I was smashed.
You were smashed watching the last quarter in the
North
lobby.
North versus Sydney.
And I rocked up late.
Yeah.
And we finished watching the game on your phone. And that G up of the Mason Wood goal, North fans know the goal.
Yep.
I don't need to tell you twice.
Yep.
Best moment ever.
Anyway. Oh, yeah. No, that's core memory right there.
Core memory.
Like when I threw that big chunk of ice at my sister. That was so funny, bro. When we're at the snow.
Core memories, man.
Anyway, core memories. Those are two of the many.
I'll say some nice things about the Saints now, right? I'm a big fan of Wangan and Miller. I've said it a few times on the pod.
Yep.
Excellent player. Mm-hmm. Sinclair had his best game of the year.
Yep. In the guts, mainly. In the guts. So, yeah, he did very well.
Darcy Wilson, they were hyping him a bit too much on the commentary, but...
Yeah. But he did.
He was great. Yeah. He was great.
Yeah.
And I will say this. For a rookie to be the best runner at the club, and at the same time, apparently they're not talking kilograms anymore, but apparently the whispers are he's put on 9 kilograms. And he looks it.
All right. Let's.
No, look
at... Asada's got to get onto this, bro. And come on,
this is what I don't get. How are you that aerobically strong and putting on muscle? That's crazy. A freaky person.
Maybe. He's just the freak... You know, genetics.
So well done. Like Saints have got a good one there. Jeez.
Yeah. It's funny. Like I want not to call out you at all, right? But maybe it is a little bit of a call out.
Yeah,
you did not rate Darcy Wilson and Windsor.
Yep.
In the preseason for some reason. You didn't like them, but now they're battling it out for the Rising Star this week.
They had excellent games.
Yeah. What you're thinking?
What it was the talk of the top 10.
Yep.
I was looking at North, right? And then North also had pick 17 and whatever it was.
Yeah.
Now, if they came to those picks, I would have been fine with it. But the early shout, I wasn't on board with.
Fair enough. For Windsor, he ended up going 6th. Yeah. That's quite high.
And you know what? There are a lot of players that are just good runners and nothing else, right?
True.
Like, think of it like a Sam Gibson for North. He was a pretty good player. But if he hadn't had the engine, we're not talking about him. He's not skillful. You know what I mean? Like, I thought risky to draft so early on a runner. But
fair
he's
enough,
quite
fair
clearly
enough.
Not just that. So yeah, I'll definitely put my hands up on that one. And Jackson Hayes, your boy, Jackie Hayes.
Jackie Hayes got him early in draft. I'm very happy.
Mata went early in draft, and that's a stroke of genius as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Giving the Saints what they need, I think one more aerial presence. Help out King, help out Marshall. Yeah. He's just sort of the perfect in between.
Yeah, and you know what the thing is? King got dominated by Aiden Core somehow, right? So they actually needed... you know, a guy to step up, you know, and be that physical presence. And he leads well, man. When you lead, you get rewarded, you know, and that's something that Chris was saying very much. So I think he texted his dad, like, bro, someone's leading for once, you know?
Yep.
And
the next and last thing I'll say about the Saints on a positive note, and this is equally how bad North is at defending, but when they had the ball a little bit outside 50, lowering the eyes and just hitting up a lead, like as you just mentioned, the leads, it's just beautiful stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
it really is.
This blazing away, hoping for a contested mark, only works sometimes. But when that ball gets released and then just you see the space the forward runs into and it just hits him, it's a thing of beauty. So well done to the Saints. Little bit on North now, just coming back to that.
Yep.
It is fantastic to see our leading players, McKercher. 30 touches.
Wardlaw. The warrior.
Monster.
Oh, my God. The collision seeing that live.
The collision with Wilson.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that's heartwarming
lovely,
stuff.
Lovely. You know, kicking goals as well and so on. Sheasel more in the midfield. Love it.
Yeah, that's it.
Someone not a lot of people are talking about. Jackson Archer.
Okay.
Locked up. Mitch Owens.
You're right, actually.
Locked him up. Where was he?
Yeah, no, you're right. Mitch Owens was nowhere to be seen.
And if you were to ask me who am I worried about the most, it's a guy like Mitch Owens that North can never contain. We can never contain DeGoey and Stringer and these explosive guys in the forward line. But I'll tell you what, Jackson Archer could contain him.
Yeah, man. And he looked like a child out there. But he was matching it physicality-wise.
And this is exciting.
A lot of the game. Yeah.
And him and Common have raw aggression in our defense, which we've been lacking. So I'm really excited to see them develop.
There you go. A bit of Shimbona spirit, some might say.
A bit of Shimbona spirit. Tristan Jerry. Yep. Surprise packet of the year.
Yep. Shinbone of Spirit. Mate, dominated this game. Man.
Probably the only time North has successfully had a trainee player overtake the experienced player and have a smooth good. Transition.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Last thing I want to say.
Yeah.
Have you seen the picture of Luke McDonald throwing up after the game? North has captioned it like, gave it our all.
Or maybe just unfit.
I'm two ways on this, bro. On one hand, I love to see it.
Yeah.
Love it. Especially because he's a leader and he's been criticized. And that would tell me like, yep, he gave it his all and he's throwing up now.
Yeah.
On the other hand, bro.
Yeah.
I think it is just the unfitness. Like, how could you? I don't know what to say, man. Like, now that's the barometer. If he's not throwing up every game, all eyes are on him, man.
Yeah.
So, 100%. Well done. He actually had a decent game, Luke. Yeah. He had a decent game.
You know what, man? This, like, I love doing the podcast with Georgie, but, like, not having someone to bounce ideas off of for North games.
You need the North.
Oh, man.
You need the support.
I needed this, man. Yeah. North Melbourne Enjoyers, man. That was fun. That was fun.
But, yeah. Funnily enough, like, sorry, man. Last thing. I was praising Jackson Archer. He had four disposals. But he locked down Owens, though. He did his job.
Yeah, no. He was fine, man. He should not lose his spot.
No.
He really shouldn't lose his spot. All right. Well, go on to another really good game, which I saw bits and pieces of because we were coming back from the footy. But, man. The Melbourne, they're exciting, man. They're exciting again. They beat a really good team in Geelong. That's the type of win you need to show, you know, to stamp your dominance on the league. Here it is. And what better way to do it than with Clary Oliver? The sleeping giant is re-emerging.
No coincidence.
He's not fat anymore. No. You know what I mean? Like, I think he's back in shape, maybe.
It's not a coincidence that he has his best game in their biggest win of the year.
Yes. Yeah, that's true.
That's
and Petrarca still not up to the lofty standards. So, you know, there's still growth in this team.
Yet they win, which is great for them.
Exactly.
Geelong had to lose at some point though.
They did.
You know. Yeah. And Bailey Fritch just goes, yep, I'll take that W. Thank you very much. With that goal on the
That got me excited, I tell you. That one and the Gorn goal as well, when Gorn he did a Buddy Franklin and just ran around, you know, and smacked it.
Match-winning moment. Like, and to win the game by 8 points and needing to pull out two incredible goals like that. It's a credit to Geelong, but even bigger credit to Melbourne. Made me think, though, the Fridge goal especially. Is it just me or in the last year or two, has there been a lack of dribble goals? You know how for a while it was like, stop dribbling? And Dunstall and that giving him shit.
Yeah, maybe people
he killed it.
Yeah, people listened to him. You know?
He actually killed it.
But the dribble goal's fun. Like,
it's fun. And like, I reckon that's the first and only time media pressure has actually stopped something.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, when someone who's kicked 1,200 goals starts saying, stop going to dribble.
Fear of the roast on the bounce.
I know. Jeez, man. You know, all of a sudden, I think we got to start roasting something. You know what I mean? And maybe they'll...
We do the whole shit on your team or shit on your player. And make them perform.
So. True. So we do have that. But yeah, another player. We've got to talk about Windsor a little bit.
Yeah, Caleb. Yeah.
There was two moments, right? I think that encapsulate the smart footballer that he is and the... What's the word? The determined football that he is. There was a tackle on Jack Henry when Jack Henry was, you know, running up, you know, past the 50, rebounding, tackled him, you know. It led to, you know, I think, I can't remember who kicked it into the 50, but it got chopped off. But I love that tackle, right? And then there was the tackle in the forward 50 on, who was it? On Guthrie, I believe it was. Ran him down, shot on goal, clutch, you know, snap into the, you know, into the goal. What a man, you know. Shout out to him, man. I think they did well with their pick six. They did what they needed to do with that, you know, win now player.
Got what they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting about the tackle pressure. For me, these players like Wilson, like Windsor, if you've got an engine and speed, you have to do this. You can't just be outside, get all the cheap possessions.
Be Jaden Stevenson, basically.
You can't be Jaden Stevenson. You can't.
Yeah.
Who, by the way?
He's got to go. He's got to go. He's gone.
But no, I think both these teams will hope to be in the top four, to be honest with you. They're in great form.
Yeah. Doesn't really say anything bad on Geelong that they lost this one. It was probably almost complimentary that they could get that close to a team that was playing that good.
Well, that's exactly what I was saying. Like, to only lose by 8 points and two epic goals in the last quarter happen. Like, come on. Yeah. That's the close games. You need magical moments to win it. And Melbourne got it. So fair play.
Any much more to talk about on that one?
Not really. Yeah. Other than I just really appreciate Geelong's aerial dominance in games. Like,
yeah.
Especially the defense, true. Like behind the ball. My God. Like the Conning. Even guys like Collard Jasny, just impenetrable. Like, hell. Yeah.
And what's his name? Was it Jack Henry? Was it Zach Guthrie?
Zach Guthrie's playing out of his mind.
Yeah. I didn't realize that he was the better Guthrie, bro.
Like, he's now.
He's
yeah.
Right now, he's definitely the better Guthrie, you know. Obviously, Cam's just getting back into the swing of it. He had a lot of Muppet moments, man. Mm. He had a lot of moments where I'm like, bro, this free kick against this and that. The tackle from Windsor, you know. He probably needs to catch up on the speed a little bit of the game.
Yeah, but, he'll be fine. He'll be okay.
Know, especially in the guts. Last week he was all right in the half back line, but in the guts, you got to be a bit more switched on.
And this is without Hawkins. He hasn't kicked a goal in like 4 or 5 weeks, I think.
Jeez.
Funnily enough.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So it's crazy. He's out of form and we know he'll come back.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's... And they're still just dominant in the air. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. Actually, interesting. Mentioning key forwards, Jeremy Cameron was playing everywhere this game. He was playing. I saw him at half back at points. Going playing crazy. Up on the wing, yeah,
crazy.
Like Georgie said, robot, Mr. Robot,
yeah. Especially when he's on, he does go through some patches of the year where he's less noticeable. But when he's on, my goodness, he takes over games,
100%.
Great game of footy that one. Mm-hmm. The next one, I didn't watch as much of it, but I was watching the scores. I was keeping an eye on it. Essendon sneak over the line. West Coast is actually all right now.
Yeah, no, they are, man. I think. Like, and I've been saying this the last couple of weeks, they're firmly in the middle pack. They're firmly, maybe the lower end of the middle pack, but they're there.
They're actually tippable now.
What's that?
You can tip them now.
You can, yeah. Crazy enough, you can tip them.
You can tip them.
Yeah. I think one thing, the only concern with them right now, right, moving forward, at the end of the game, Yo did get a groin injury. I don't know the extent of that injury, but that is a huge out.
Yeah.
That is big, you know. They're going to need a lot of stepping up from Sheed, who's just, you know, getting himself back into the fitness, Harley Reid in the guts. They're gonna be asking a lot of those guys, but there's still enough weapons around. Like McGovern's still playing well, you know. Jack Darling he's the man right now, man. And even more, the real man. Let's be fair,
the real Jack the Snake,
the real Jack the Snake Waterman, baby. He can't stop playing well, man. You know, I think officially he's, you know, premier key forward right now. Like,
well, he's top five in the Coleman.
Well, there you go.
Genuinely, he's up there.
Yeah,
so.
I'm curious to see now, you know, where's he at marks-wise, right? Because he gets a lot of contested marks. Like, it's a little view profile. So, marks-wise, he's elite, 7.4. I don't know how to check. You know, we'll check right now. Contested marks. Let's have a look. Where is that? Where is that, man? Yeah, contested marks 2.3. So not quite elite, but still that's a lot, you know. Yeah, there we go, man. Jake the Snake, man.
He's great.
He's Charlie Kurnow 2.0. Some might say body wise, you know, probably not as fast.
Yeah,
but like slightly undersized, but like what's it called? Width wise, he's not undersized.
And the crazy thing is, right, Oscar Allen's not in the team.
Yes.
He's
true.
A monster in his own right.
Yeah.
And not even hit his potential. So West Coast currently have solid two-pronged defense, McGovern and Barras.
Mm-hmm.
It's better than most teams.
Yes.
And then assuming fitness, Allen and Waterman. Mm. And Darling's on and the decline-ish.
Yeah, but he's still...
He's playing well now.
Yeah, but he's still, you know, making a presence, you know, so that's fine.
So let's say long-term though, two.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
So Allen, Waterman, midfield, Reed.
Mm.
Jinbi, like they've got a couple in each line that are just really good.
Yep. You'd have confidence going to the future.
And they're brutes as well. Like
they are. They're not. You know, holding back.
Correct.
Much at all. Yeah. You know, these.
So I think they're well set now. I think the concerns about them not having enough talent are not as extreme as we thought.
No.
Injuries killed them and all that last year, but.
And all this, oh man, if North Melbourne are getting compensation, what about West Coast?
No.
That can be firmly put to bed. Because, look, it should have never have been there considering they won a premiership in 2018.
Yeah, no.
That should never have been there in the first place. But,
you can't win a flag and then get injuries and decline and cry. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Shut up.
Yeah, exactly.
Seriously, man.
Yeah.
We should say a few nice things about Essendon now.
Yeah.
My full stop point on this, you can't let Parrish, Martin, and Merritt dominate you and expect to win.
Yeah.
Those guys can't control the game.
True.
36 disposals for Parrish. Shout out Zuds.
Yeah. Shout out Zuds, man.
Nick Martin, 32. Merritt, 29 and 3 goals. Can't allow that.
Yeah, no, they went crazy, man. They really did. Merritt, I think, might be the most consistent mid this year, to be honest with you. Like, week in, week out, he's the dude really performing. Up there with, I reckon he's up there with the Butters, up there with the Bonts, up there with,
And three goals in a one goal win is crazy.
Yeah.
From a mid.
Clutch, man.
That's huge.
I think, yeah, low key, their midfield depth is actually, I don't rate these guys overly high, but the thing is there's a few of them that can just pull a shift. Like Perkins goes in there and gets a few, you know, center bounces. They have Setterfield to come back in who, you know, he's all right. You know what I mean? He's
Durham as well.
Durham. I think Durham's probably been the big one. Just the physical presence in there helps out Parrish and Merritt a lot.
Yep.
So yeah, I think they're building up this team quite nicely, to be honest with you. You know,
and they've got what's his name coming back? Halfback.
Halfback. Yes. Ridley.
Ridley's coming back at some point.
Mm.
My only question with Essendon is their forward line being consistent. Guys like Stringer, Gresham, Jones I like a lot. I think he's their best forward.
Oh, wow.
To be honest with you, long term.
Long term, yeah. Long term for sure. But like I think over Peter Wright and Langford, I think it's a bit.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Long term. But Langford's probably the most consistent.
Yeah.
Peter Wright, when he's fit, he's consistent.
Mm. Oh, yeah. When he gets a contested mark in the 50, it's just about a guaranteed goal.
Yeah. No, he's excellent, right? Mm. So can guys like Stringer, Davey, Gresham, can these guys actually play consistently? Because when they're on, they win games well and they can hit a good score.
Yep.
When they're not having an influence, they get stuck in games like this.
Yeah, true.
So, I don't know.
And even in this game, like you're talking about the forward line, they've relied on Zach Merritt 3 goals.
That's what I'm saying,
to get him over the line. So, that's a fair concern to have, to raise. Yeah. But I think, do we finally start just showing Essendon some respect? You know, and irrelevant of who their coach is?
No. No, only
that's
because...
That's the answer I wanted to hear.
Only because even Essendon fans will admit,
good
start.
Mm.
They've had good starts, good halves, good first half to the year, most years. It's the second half of the year where the eyes are on them and they consistently don't do enough.
Yeah,
so
yeah, that's fair.
I'm happy to say they're playing well. They're in the eight for a reason. I enjoy watching them play most of the time, but I can't shake the stink yet.
You know, I've got a little comparison here, right?
Sure.
So, basically, what you're telling me about Essendon, right, is that you're appreciating the good stuff that's happening right now. And you think, oh, yeah, this is actually a pretty decent team. However, until you win something, I'm a hater. Doesn't that sound familiar, Dino?
You know what? No, it's fair, though.
Now you understand. Yeah. You understand the perspective. So just to, you know, catch you guys up to speed, I am an Arsenal hater until they win something, right? So for now, shout out, you guys have made a beautiful team, you know, it's great. But I've heard comments about this team's been built up the way Barcelona's been built up and stuff like that. But Barcelona, you know, back in the day with Xavi and Iniesta and Messi and who else? Suarez. Man, that team was ridiculous. There's no comparison just yet. Until you win something, that's it. If Arsenal win it this year, I'll show respect. And like how you will show respect to Essendon after they win a final this year. They would win a final.
That's analogy's there.
Yes.
I'm insulted that you're comparing Arsenal to Essendon.
Yeah.
But I understand. But Essendon shows it in the second half of the year, then I'll respect it.
Yeah, but you get it. I'm sorry.
But the comparison is wild.
I know. It is. It's disgusting. I know.
But I get the premise.
But they're both teams that wear red, you know?
I get the premise.
Yeah. I would say Merritt is comparable to Bukayo Saka with the left foot. You know what I mean? Left foot kick, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, there we go.
Both stronger than they look.
Yeah, but exactly. Both stronger than they look. You know, got a bit of dog in them. That's There you go. See, no other podcast will give you the comparison of Zach Merritt and Bukayo Saka.
It's probably never been done.
No. I don't know how I pulled that out. Not going to lie. But yeah. It's like the, what's it called? Not Harry Potter. The Spider-Man. Spider-Man thing, you know?
Fair enough. Well, look. I, for one, am not a chirper when it comes to Arsenal, just briefly.
Yeah, no. You're not that bad.
I'm not that bad.
There are the chirpers out there. Anyway, we'll move on before I get Dino any angrier.
I know. You're making me – you're testing me today. That's,
look, the thing is, I don't know when the next time I'm going to have you on the potties, bro. I have to rile you up,
getting
man.
In your shots while you can.
That's it. I've got to keep it entertaining, man.
Fair enough.
But, yeah, we'll shuffle along to – it's funny because this feels weird right now. I'm so used to now – taking the responsibility of shuffling on the games. Because Dino is the traditional host of the show.
No, you're doing great.
But now, like, the transitions are just, they're coming to me,
it's
man.
Natural, it's natural.
So, you know, again, shuffling along onto Richmond versus Freo. I feel bad for Richmond, bro. I feel bad, you know.
I don't.
You don't?
I really don't.
You know what? Maybe this is a blessing. Maybe this is a blessing, all these injuries, you know. They get another top 4 or 5 pick. They do have their pick this year, I'm pretty sure. Surely.
Yes.
Surely they're not still owing GWS, you know. They're still not, you know, in debt to the bank of GWS. Yeah, but look, man, Freo, you know, their midfield depth with Fife as the sub, which was ridiculous, right? Was great, man. Like, Sarong steps up, Hayden Young, Matty Johnson. Matty Johnson, we forget about that dude, man. He had a great game. You know, this was his opportunity to show out against, you know, an undermanned Richmond midfield. And, you know, Lukey Ryan has, you know, he had pretty much probably the most dominant halfback game or fullback, halfback game, whatever position to this point of the season from a defender. But then Zorko kind of put his hat in the ring.
Ryan's game, I think, was a bit more impressive for me.
A bit more clinical, I think. You know, he uses it so well as well, you know.
Zorko was just sort of roaming around, getting a few cheap, like, soccer kicks and whatnot.
Yeah, it's fair. That's fair.
Great game, though. Great game. Mm. But, look, I'll tell you why I don't feel sorry for Richmond.
Yep.
Firstly, any team that's had elite success, like more than one premiership in the last, 10 years, that's it. Like, anything you suffer in the coming years, just don't stress. You're fine.
That's fair.
Don't
that's
stress.
Fair.
Just enjoy. Watch the DVDs. Like, honestly.
Watch the DVDs.
That's what I would do. That's what I would do.
No, you're true. You go back to happy times. Happy
if
times.
I could watch North, say those years we made the prelims, they actually ended in a granny, guess what I'd be watching right now?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We wouldn't have this anxiety of our team being shit.
Correct.
You know what I mean? And they shouldn't. They'd just be calm. They'd be like, it's not our turn this time.
Correct.
Not our turn.
So, that's why I don't feel sorry for them, firstly. You've had your elite success.
Yeah.
Great memories, right? Secondly, like you said, it's injuries. So
you're right.
If you're going to get bullied a bit when you're so on demand, don't stress. Like, it's fine, man. If North's reason for being so bad was all our good players are down, I wouldn't be stressing either. But our problems are not so deep.
No, you're right.
Sorry, maybe, are not that shallow. They're deeper. So
maybe I'll redirect my feeling sorry to Adam Uzo, perhaps.
Yeah, that's fair.
That sort of sucks for the coach. They have, you know, some key positions out and he can't really show his stuff. But you know what? It probably allows him to embed the game plan into those guys for a bit longer and then they'll show their stuff.
And you can discover a few gems as well. Like, don't want to butcher his name, LaFau.
He's a gun.
Is he getting a game so soon and so many games if Lynch is fit? Don't know. Maybe not. And Bolter? Don't think so.
Yeah. So what's his name? Thompson Dow getting like ample opportunity in the midfield. Sonsi getting a bit of midfield opportunity.
So it's not all bad. And you know, Freo just squeezes the life out of you if you're not a good team.
They do, look at their
Ryan 39 touches, Sarong 38, Brayshaw 31, Young 30. They just hog the ball.
I want to have a little look. How much do they restrict teams? So 49 Richmond, 71 Bulldogs, 105 West Coast, but that was just a freak game.
That was a weird game.
66, so they lost the Port, but it was 66 points to Port, 73 to Carlton, 34 to Adelaide, 76 to North, which actually looks decent now from us when I look at it, 70 Brisbane. They've only copped 100 points once.
Correct.
This year.
So Richmond was never going to kick a winning score so depleted in their forward line especially. So they'll be fine. If I were them, they're currently second last, clear by a win each to Hawthorn and West Coast, who have won 2 games.
Yeah.
I'd just be doing what I do. Shout out Footy Stuff on YouTube. Puts all highlight vids of the young prospects.
Yes. He's amazing.
That guy slash girl, don't know who he or she is. Elite content.
Yes.
The only person posting what you want in draft research, I guess you could say.
Yeah, exactly. And if anyone has any, you know, any other sources, let us know. Footy Stuff is carrying the
Footy
load.
Stuff's the guy. So just start watching, like, subscribe.
Yeah.
That's what I've done.
Yeah, watch some Josh Smiley vids. Watch some Finn O'Sullivan vids.
Yeah.
He might be someone who falls the 2 or 3 because North are getting Smiley anyway.
Correct. So just chill out and watch those, enjoy, and knowing that you do have good players still, experienced players. And next year you could be watching, I don't know, Finn O'Sullivan run alongside Taranto and Hopper. That'd be great.
Exactly.
So just enjoy, man. Yeah.
I think in a midfield heavy draft, they've landed perfectly.
Perfect. That's Thomas Dowell builds up a bit more. You've got Dusty in and out, Bolton in and out. Calm down.
Yeah, no, calm it down, man.
Calm it down. You're fine.
Yeah, but anyway, we'll, I think, bring it on to the last game. I think it's
there's two more games, actually.
There's two more?
What? We've got Doggies.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk Doggies, man.
Yeah.
Let's, and this is, I'm going to channel my inner George right now.
Yeah,
Bevo's got to go, man.
Bevo, look, I think it's his time.
Bevo's got to go.
He's got to go. yeah, and I, you know, Georgie, I agree.
Look. Let's talk Hawthorn first, actually.
Yeah.
Right?
Respect for these guys, man.
Great win. You got youngster coming in, Kel Shadir, just popping up.
Yeah.
Sicily goes forward, has an impact.
Mm. After, like, dislocating his shoulder or whatever he did.
Sicily's playing with one arm.
Yeah, and he's out-muscling people in the forward line, taking contested marks.
Nick Watson can miss a goal line goal.
Oh, man.
And it doesn't matter.
Muggle wizard, bro.
I'm so glad for him that they didn't lose that game, bro.
I know, man. He would have cost so much.
And, like, they weathered the storm in the last quarter. They built the lead. Doggies stormed back real quick. And then they just got it again. So, well done to Hawthorn. Their midfield somehow bullied the Dogs' midfield, which I did not see coming.
Yeah. I think Dylan Moore had a huge impact. When he enters...
You're trying to trigger me again, mate. What? Sorry, I lost my draft matchup because Dylan Moore...
Oh, yeah. Sorry, man. Sorry, bro.
Shout out Dudes again.
Yeah, shout out. I mean, Dudes.
No, sorry, Perry. It was Perry.
Shout out Perry, man. Shout out Dutchie. Dylan Moore was huge, man. Like, they ended up... Like, he was having a big impact around the ground for most of the game. But then in the last quarter, they're like, all right, we need... Our best player today has to go into the guts. You know, they subbed out McKenzie because he wasn't really providing much. And they're like, all right, here you go, mate. That's your role now. Mm. And he did the business, man. He was really good, really impactful.
Yep. So well done to Hawthorn. Honestly, like these quarter games don't surprise me though, because last year and maybe the year before as well, they'd have some random good wins like this.
They do. They're one of the most wildly inconsistent teams in the league, which I guess is kind of, if you're a bad team, it's kind of good because at least you give your supporters some little joys here and there. Exactly. Shout out JL.
Yeah. And this is what I was saying the other week when I sent in my recording after the North game. Like, you're not as bad as North.
No,
they were trying to pretend like this is a battle of the equals. You were never as bad as North and you're not as bad as North.
And it's just a shame that you had one of those good games against us because then there's our opportunity to win gone.
Exactly. So well done to the Hawks though.
Mm.
The Dogs though. It's not just that they lost, man. Like... The amount of skill errors is crazy.
Yeah, it's like you wouldn't expect that because they do have a lot of dudes with skill, but
they do.
Yeah, you know. I don't know what to say. I think it's odd the way Bevo salad as it's been coined, the way he rotates players through and doesn't put the best players in for long enough. I don't understand it. Like McRae ended up being, I think, your best midfielder at points in the game. And especially in the last quarter, you didn't play him out the quarter. You didn't let him play it out when he was the dude actually providing some class going into the 50 and using it well and being a calm presence at all time. I don't understand that. You had Bailey Dale popping up into center bounces.
Yeah.
Like, leave him at half back. He's doing fine there.
And you know what it is as well? One thing I think people don't talk about enough with the Dogs, like, I agree with you 100%. Some of the decisions about where players play for how long is just crazy. But let's just have a walkthrough. I want to go through their list with you for a moment. Okay. So I want you to tell me how many of their players are actually A graders, because I think we all just have the drunk goggles on with the Dogs and we have had for years.
Maybe. Okay. Maybe. I like that. Like the drunk goggles.
Go through it one by one. Okay. I want you to give them a grade in your opinion, like a genuine A grade.
Yeah.
And then maybe B.
And give me, you know what? I'll give you what they are. And their potential grade.
Correct. All right, fine.
Yeah. I think that's the best way to do
it. So tell me like A, B, C, whatever, and like, don't know. That's fine if you don't know, or like unproven.
Yeah.
So Ed Richards.
Ed Richards. I think right now he's about a C or B, and I think that's where his potential is. I don't think there's much growth out of him, especially as a midfielder. As a midfielder, I don't think there's much growth.
If I'm thinking like premiership standard, I think he's a C player that can play a B game.
Yep. That's fair.
That's my opinion. Jones. Liam Jones.
Liam Jones. I think... He's probably A, to be honest with you. Like, I think as a key defender, I think he's fine.
I think he's a B. Like I consider the A's like Andrews's and Collins and whatnot.
Fair enough.
He's not that good.
B plus.
Yeah. All right. Dale.
Dale at the moment he's an A.
100%. I think he's an A.
He's an A.
I think he's an A in the halfback role.
No doubt about it. But he's treated like a D player for the start of, at the start of the season.
Johannesson.
C or B. No.
Again, I think he's a C. Can play B standards.
Yeah. He had his moment in the finals. Did he win a Norm Smith?
How long ago was that?
I know that was, you know, that was when I was a child. So
I'll actually say he's a C at the moment, to be honest.
No, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah.
Buku Kamus.
Buku Kamus.
C or D.
Yeah. Not, right? Not much better.
For being real, for being harsh.
Yeah. Potential B. That's about him.
O'Donnell, potential, but he's a C or D as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Probably a D.
Mm-hmm.
Bailey Williams.
D. O'Donnell. Oh, yeah. Yeah, what was that? Bailey Williams?
Bailey Williams.
C. Not much more. Right? He has his good moments, but he's not that great.
Trelaw,
he's. I think he's an A.
He's a lower end A for me.
Lower end A, yeah, but you got to give him an A. Okay. He's still an elite accumulator.
Yep.
You know, of course, his disposal is a bit suspect sometimes, but.
Yep.
Yeah.
Harms,
DC. DC, Max.
DC, Max?
Yeah.
Vandermeer, DC?
Yep.
Norden? Pretend A grade. He's a B.
Pretend A. He's a B. No, you're right. He's you're a B. Right. Yeah.
Okay. Gallic, but media will paint him like an A+, but he's not.
No, he's not. Okay. No, he's potential A+.
Correct.
Because of just the physicalness of
it. But he's not been it for a couple of years now.
No.
Gallagher.
Man,
Gallagher.
DC.
Sam Darcy, massive potential. But yeah, right now, he's a C.
He's probably A++ potential, yeah. But at the moment, yeah, he's like a C.
He's a C.
B, maybe. Yeah.
He can play a B game, but he's probably a C. Yugo Hagen, A+ potential, but right now, he's like a B as well. He's not cream of the crop forwards.
Probably not.
Bramble, CD.
Bramble, yeah, meh.
Tim English, A+.
Yeah.
Bont, A+. Libba, A+.
Right? Yeah. When you look at it
way. There's a bit more, sorry.
Yeah.
Duray, CD.
Duray, yeah.
McRae. Right now,
a B.
He's a B.
But he should be A or A+. To be honest, he should be A or A+.
But he's a B right now, right? And then Garcia and Clark, unproven.
Mm. Yeah.
So, what did we learn? It's Bont. It's Libba, it's Trelaw, it's English. The rest of them, and then there's a few Bs, and the rest are Cs and Ds. Are we really, after looking at that, surprised that they frustrate us and they're not consistent, they're not a finals team?
Maybe it's not Bevo's fault.
It's a little bit his fault, but I think actually the whole Bevo is the reason, and even, I put my hand up as well.
Yeah.
I think the list just isn't that good.
There you go.
They've got top end and then nothing.
That's fair. Look, I think that's a brave take. I think that you're supporting Bevo is brave. You know.
Look, I'm just saying.
Stand with Bevo.
I'm just saying you put Craig McRae or whoever else you think is the best coach here. Mm. I don't think it changes as much as people think. As much as I even thought a few weeks ago.
That's interesting. That is interesting. Look, I think you're right. We're probably enamored by the potential of these guys because they've had the high end talent and the amount of academy selections. You know, the father son in Darcy, and they've got a few more just tall dudes just waiting in the wings to get an opportunity, and they're not there. So yeah, that's I like that take, man. Mm. I like that take. Is there much to talk about for Hawthorn? There really is, man.
No,
there
we
really
kind of just shouted out a few players, I think, already.
Yeah. No, I'm scrolling a little scroll through them. Who did I like, man? Weddle, his goal was mad.
I love Weddle.
Yeah.
I like Weddle.
Didn't have the best game, but we're going to talk about Will Day. I like him. That's all. He's Will Day's my guy.
He's probably the player where you watch him, you're like, oh, this guy's so good. And then you look at the stats, you're like, yeah, 15 touches. Okay.
Yeah, no, I was like, okay. Yeah, so yeah. But he has, when he gets the ball and he's, you know, he's in and under and then he uses it cleanly, blah, it's mad.
Yeah.
But yeah, look, this is a nice building team. They got on a few nice pieces, you know.
I will say the funniest thing, and you know my brother is a Hawthorn supporter, right? Yeah. So he
what hates, did he say about Nick Watson this week, bro?
So he hates the Watson pick, and I've said it to you already.
Yeah.
I agree he's been pretty woeful, but you know, he's a small forward, light body, he might take a little while. But man, that miss in the last quarter, game on the line. Is inexcusable. Like George said well in the chat while the game was on, the elite small forwards of the league, your Camerons and whatnot.
They're not missing that.
Even with their eyes closed, can't miss that. It's impossible to miss it.
Yeah, and 100%. 100%. At any point in their career. You know,
and we,
unless someone, you know, gives us proof that they've had some bad misses over the years, mate, shouldn't happen. Look,
if you're that committed to the pod, prove us wrong. But
yeah, prove us wrong. Prove us wrong, guys.
Jeez, like we joked a few weeks ago, when does the Wizard tag leave? Man.
It has now, mate. He's the Muggle. Jeez. He's Muggle. Which one's Muggle? I think Muggle is. Oh, is he a Muggle?
Mudblood is half wizard.
Yeah, something like that. And Muggle.
I think he's Mudblood.
I think honestly, right now he's a Muggle, and he's got his work. Well,
let's
his way
level
out.
Him down though. So he's gone from wizard to Mudblood. Let's give him a chance in the Mudblood.
All right,
area.
But I feel like we already did. He was already there.
It was a bit early. We gave him that call like in round three.
You just love draft players, man. I do. You are Kel Toomey 2.0. Speaking of Kel Toomey, right? I did see Riley Beveridge at the North game.
Hey.
Yeah, I did see him. I didn't have he was too far away. Like, it would have been weird for me to jump over, you know, four rows just to go, hey, Riley Beveridge, I like your shit. I couldn't do it. But, like, yeah, it was nice to see him pop up at a random-ass game like that.
I will say, I know it's probably his job as well, but he doesn't need to be so optimistic. Riley Beveridge, mate, respect to the actual quality of the content he bothers to write about North. I don't know his other stuff.
Yeah.
But I read his North stuff. And he always paints optimism and calm. And he actually talks to people in the club and learns about what we're trying to do.
There you go.
So, well, and great to hear he was at the game.
Yeah.
So, well done to him. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Last game, Brisbane Gold Coast.
Yeah. The old firm.
The old firm.
The old firm.
I'll tell you what, you wouldn't have known it watching the Suns play. They couldn't give a shit.
No. I was thinking more when I was saying old firm, I wasn't really thinking like the rivalry. I wasn't thinking that. I was just thinking the old firm as in, like, you know, Zorko and Neil. Oh. But I like that interpretation, right?
The old firm.
The old firm. The Q Clash is not the old firm, bro. That is not right.
I thought you were trying to hype up the Queensland Derby.
No, not at all. Not at all. I just wanted to talk about Zorko and Neil and Dunkley, right?
All right, go ahead.
They were everywhere, bro. That was their game. They must have taken this whole, you know, the club shit so personally, and that, as they should, and they went nuts, bro. They were nuts, particularly Zorko, man. He was just everywhere.
George said in the chat, we need to talk about Zorko. Is he on steroids? And he said, I'll elaborate on the next pod. Now, he's not on the next pod, which is this pod.
Yes, but so the next pod after that.
We're going to have to leave that for next week.
Yeah, I know. We will discuss, you know, on the next episode of AFL Enjoyers, is Zorko on roids? Look, maybe, but one thing I want to ask you, how old is Josh Dunkley? Tell me. What do you think?
Ooh, is he 29?
29. Bro's 27.
Okay.
So I feel like he's been an elite midfielder for like 15 years or something, bro. That's an exaggeration, you know. But I swear, this dude is like prime of his powers, peak of his powers. And he's so consistent, man. Mm. He's so consistent. He's just about the ideal midfielder, to be honest with you. Height, good in the contest, takes contested marks around the ground. Like, underrated and ridiculous that he's not an All-Australian. Ridiculous to me.
And you know what's ridiculous as well? What your dad told me the other day, which was, how did this guy not get Father Son by Sydney?
Yes.
Probably the only player that's actually any good to not get claimed. And he was like pick 20 something?
Yeah, he was pick 25, right? And the interesting thing is we had a look at the two dudes that Sydney picked later, right? One of them. So look, it actually kind of worked in the end, right? Because they wanted better kicking and they thought Dunkley's kicking was suspect, which is dumb in the end, right? They got a guy called Tyrone Leonardis, right? And despite the cool name Tyrone and Leonardis, both cool names and a nice little combination, I don't think dude played a game, right? I don't remember him playing a game. If I saw him on the street, he might be someone that I've seen many times on the street. I wouldn't know him, right? A complete unknown. Tyrone Leonardis, shout out to him, right? But the next one, right, in the 50s, a pick in the 50s, JD.
Yep.
It was JD, man. So if they wanted better kicking,
they got it in Dawson.
They got it. Yep, they got it. He did leave, but when you look at it that way, it's just like basically you picked Dawson or Dunkley.
Mm.
Not too bad. Yep. Not too bad, man. Break even, I would say.
Mm.
Maybe not, but we'll say break even. It is a shame that you didn't pick a father son though.
It's just there on the platter.
Because he would have stayed. He would never have left.
And you can buy back into the draft in the 50s if you really wanted Dawson.
Yeah. I don't know if the rules were as, you know.
Yeah, true.
What's the word?
Buying back
flexible
in.
Buying back in. I don't know if that was a thing. Yeah. I don't know if you could trade future first to that.
No, you couldn't. Fair play.
I'm not sure. But yeah, anyway, there you go.
But no, Brisbane did what they needed to do. I don't think they were great. And this is what I want to talk about. Gold Coast. Preseason, I think George always is optimistic about Gold Coast. Yeah, he thinks this is the year.
Yeah, he loves them.
You're probably next on the pod positive about Gold Coast.
I've always been
the third positive. Not negative, but I'll tell you
what. Some say he hates on them until they do something good.
No, but here's the thing with them, right? It's not even for me about like looking at the bias of the past. For me, it's more just like you're playing in a derby. As much as we said, it's not really the old firm. Like for them, it should be.
Yeah, no, and you're playing, this is all they got, really. Yeah, what else they got?
Playing Brisbane, who's probably the worst they've been in 3-4 years.
Mm.
And you're probably the best you've been in 3-4 years. And this is what you tee up, 45 points. And poor football, really poor football.
Yeah.
I was very unimpressed by what they dished up.
Yeah, and I think it's fair enough. And did you mention the injuries? I don't know if you did.
To Brisbane, yeah.
Yeah, so, the injuries. Yeah, like, what's it called? Was it 3 in the first quarter? Something ridiculous?
So McCarthy, Sasevich pregame, like late scratch.
Yeah, very late.
And the guy that they had on the bench played in the VFL earlier that day.
Yeah, and had Maccas beforehand. How did he... Right. Good. Shout out to Logan Morris, man.
Shout out
Logan Morris.
So McCarthy and Gardiner, they're saying ACLs. Unconfirmed, but suspected, right?
That's rough.
Sasevich out.
Mm.
Debutant playing and Logan Morris sub. So like... Mm.
Probably and another debutant in the Breville.
Oh, and Answorth.
Yeah, as a concussion.
So as depleted as they've been in years and as poor as they've been in years, and you don't even lay a punch.
Yeah, no, you're right, that's super poor.
I think
Hardwick's going to have to swing the axe a little bit, you know, just not the players I have in my Supercoach team, you know, but it's a bad look, man.
Yeah.
It's a bad look. And I'm sure, I don't know, I didn't expect them to be at this level. I thought that they'd be properly competing, to be honest with you.
And this is the thing I'll take back slightly, is they are blooding a lot of youngsters and we've all been impressed by them.
True, true.
Maybe that's just the inconsistency this week. They just weren't on or whatever.
Yeah, true, but true.
Still, I don't know.
But the thing is, that's not an excuse for Raul, who had a subpar game.
Correct.
Took Miller, Anderson. I don't think any of them really...
Got bullied a bit.
Yeah, I don't think any of them really had a good game.
No.
You know, and like Witsy did. Witsy did have a big game. He was a monster in the ruck, you know. But
and actually, want to talk a little bit about potential steroids of Zorko and like Darcy Wilson. Like we're saying, like, how do these guys develop so well?
Yeah, the Gold Coast,
Gold Coast Academy boys, right?
Yeah.
Now, North's been in the draft for a couple of years now, right? Drafting guys like Bergman. A couple of years in, he looks slightly bigger.
Yeah,
Archer slightly bigger. Tom Powell slightly bigger. You look at Graham.
It's huge, man.
He's bigger than most North players, right?
I know. He looks like LDU physically already.
Jed Walter, you know? I'm not even going to talk about how crazy this guy looks as an 18-year-old, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even Jake Rogers, who's very slight.
Yeah.
He's not a twig.
No,
and
nice.
You can see he's going to get muscle on him pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
And Ethan Reed, for a ruckman.
For a skinny ruck,
picked in the first round, they should never be playing games in their first year of footy.
No.
Should be impossible.
Yeah, should be Sam Day, you know, still in there.
But he looks not that skinny.
No, he looks fine. Yeah, he does. Yeah. Looks like he belongs there.
What is going on in this academy?
I don't know. Look, we talked about this prior to the pod, and the only explanation I can give, apart from, you know, Asada needing to investigate, is they have been given... So they're in the AFL Academy. They're in the GWS Gold Coast Academy. Mm. We got there on the third time. Gold Coast Academy, surely that they have... like elite gym facilities, and that must be it. That's my only explanation, because otherwise, like, man, the investigation required.
Don't get me wrong, I'm impressed. Yeah. I'm really impressed, but like, it's actually crazy.
Yeah. Good on him, man. Good on him. You know, that's some, you know, dedication to the craft, which is a bit difficult over in the, you know, party land Gold Coast.
True. I did want to just say one more thing, and I had a dig at this group of people in round zero, the Brisbane fans.
Yes.
Okay. You know, I'm not too impressed with their over singing after a goal, especially when they're winning or like they have momentum. Like, we're singing a second chorus of like Country Road. Like, get out.
Yeah.
I'm really over it.
Yeah, that's fair.
So that's always annoyed me, right? But they did something even cringier this week. Somehow they topped themselves.
Mm.
They did the wave in the crowd.
Nah, this isn't the cricket, man. This is not the cricket. You know?
Yep. Come on. Like,
I'm not.
That's not a footy thing.
No, I don't like it.
I was quite
very much that's off-putting. That is very much off-putting.
Most cringe fans in the league, I think, has to go to Brisbane. And you know what is most cringe about it all?
Mm-hmm.
The second they're a bad team, that's the Gabba will be empty.
You're right. No, you're right.
Emptier than a North game.
Yeah, 100% because this is rugby town. They're just jumping along for the ride, for the wins. A lot of their fans are here in Melbourne.
Yep.
All of their fans, they're all Fitzroy lads.
That's right.
You know?
So that's my little thing, yeah.
I like it. Nah.
Take it personally if you want.
That's a fair call. I'm not going to say this is a retort, but I will say at the St. Kilda home game, without the songs afterwards, when you're at the stadium, it feels lifeless.
Mm.
After a goal and it's just completely dead silent, you're waiting for the bounce and there's no music, it's shit, to be honest with you. So I think the songs are necessary, but they overdo it, man. It becomes like it's worse than an NBA game.
Yeah.
Over there, you know what I mean.
Like, just don't sing the extra chorus.
No. That
when the ball bounces, I don't want to be hearing much else.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Anyway,
but yeah, no, that's fair. Fair call.
Bit of beef.
Yeah, no, I like it. I feel like we always turn like a good performance into something negative about the teams, bro. Like enjoyers, I'm not sure, bro.
I'm a critical thinker.
That's it. No, I like it. You're pulling one of my quotes from earlier, man. I like it. There we go.
All right, that's about it for the games.
Yeah, I think that was. Yeah, we've had a nice little. Chin wag about all those games. It was a great week of footy. And that's why I was talking about it with Dana. I was disappointed that we weren't going to be able to do a pod this week, but to pull one in last minute and, you know, a little surprise pod feels good because it was a good one to talk about. Okay. So thank you, Dana, for being ever present. Well, not ever present, but present this time.
Happy to do it. And you know what? This week might be an equally good round. Let's go through it.
So, all right, let's go.
First game, Thursday night. Carlton, Melbourne.
Yeah.
At the G. Huge game. Carlton can fall out of the eight with a loss.
Mm. And you know what? Because Georgie's not here. We're tipping Melbourne, mate. Because Georgie's not here. Or have you got something to say about that?
I think Carlton will do it.
Okay.
And my reasoning is this.
Yep.
Their midfield, while Melbourne's is coming into form,
mm-hmm.
I think it's just currently a bit more, as George would say, brutal.
Yeah.
And I think they will get enough going forward to get your Kurnos and Mackays involved, as good as May and Lever are.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think Kurnos due a bag.
Okay.
And I'm going to back him in.
All right. You know what we're going to do this week? This is all your tips this week because you haven't had the tipping power last month and I've just been doing whatever I want.
So you can tell me what
I've been writing whatever I want pretty much. Now, last week I really wrote whatever I want on the tips. So I'm going to give it all to you, mate. I'm going to do the host duties and you're going to do the tipping, right?
Give your opinion at least after I tip.
Yeah, look.
But that's my honest thoughts. I think they'll have enough.
It's a 50-50 game. Honestly, it's a twin. It's a
would be great for the pod. For this one. Unfortunately for George, if George starts to panic again a little bit. Just a little bit.
Yeah, and you're right. You're right. Actually, for the sake of the pod, I'd prefer Melbourne to win.
But George, this is for you, man.
Yeah.
Happy name day. I'm tipping Carlton.
All right. Let's go. All right. The next game is Geelong versus Port Adelaide in GMHBA Stadium.
GMHBA or not, Geelong.
There we go. I agree with you, man. Port are a little bit in shambles. They've got a few injuries coming up. They need to sort their shit out. Right?
Yep.
Next game, Fremantle in Perth versus Sydney.
This is an interesting one.
It is.
Because I did question the Sydney forward line slightly.
Mm.
Not question. I just putting it out there.
Mm. And this is coming up against This is the Freo defense that doesn't allow 100 points.
I'm going to tip Freo.
Oh,
Fremantle Dokers.
The Dokers, man. That's if you want a pod pick, you know, that's the point of difference. There you go. Look, I disagree with you, but you know what? Fair enough. But I like it. This is your opportunity to go a bit wild because I don't know when you're going to be. I don't know when the next pod with you will be. But anyway, there we go. We're going with Freo. Next one is Hawks versus St Kilda.
It's in Launceston.
Yes.
And I wasn't too impressed by St Kilda.
Oh.
And Hawthorn had a great game. I am still going to tip St Kilda though.
Okay. Respect for Chris.
Respect for Chris, firstly. Yep. Secondly, I'm questioning Hawthorn's ability to play two really good games in a row.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the one enough. They got their win.
Mm.
Lonnie or not, I think the Saints will be just a bit too good.
Yeah, that's a fair call.
And King needs to respond. He's copping a bit of flack.
Yeah, and here's his opportunity against generally undersized, you know, Hawthorn defense. Apart from Frost, he's a big boy.
Correct.
Fair call. Essendon versus GWS at Marvel Stadium.
If Tom Green doesn't play and there's no Cogs, no Tom Green, great chance for the Bombers to win. I still think the Giants will win though.
Okay, fair. I'm not surprised. I'm sure. I knew you were going to do that.
Look, because
again, hater.
No, look, the Giants, you see their performance against Carlton a few weeks ago at Marvel.
Yeah.
They were not unlucky to lose. Like Carlton had to play.
Mm.
It's probably as good as they can play at times to win that game. I don't think Essendon can hit those heights for long enough.
That's fair. Gold Coast in Darwin versus North.
You might have skipped a game.
Did I?
Yep.
Did I? No, I didn't, bro.
Richmond Dogs.
I've got, look, they're both at the same time. Oh, so right. Sorry. For me, Gold Coast comes.
This is what? Crazy.
That is, bro, that is weird, man.
Another, mate, Android v Apple. Jeez.
Yeah, I know. Jeez.
So all right, so we can go.
So we're going Darwin first.
All right.
Darwin. So what's your thinking?
I'd love to be able to tip North just because Gold Coast doesn't deserve a tip after the performance they had.
Yeah.
But especially with a Dewey ball, our skills are bad enough.
Yeah, true, true.
We're not going to win that.
Yeah, fair enough. We're so Gold Coast for that one. So now Richmond versus the Bulldogs.
Okay. Oh, it's got to be the Dogs have to respond.
They do.
Surely.
They do.
No, surely.
If they do lose though, man, I think Bevo, he's going to walk, bro. He might have to walk if that's the case.
Yeah. I can't tip Richmond with all the injuries against the embarrassed Bulldogs outfit.
Fair enough. All right. So go over to Marvel Stadium, actually. And this should be at the G, but Collingwood versus West Coast. Harley Reid's, you know, first game against Collingwood should be at the G.
Yeah. Why is that's weird.
Maybe they just didn't expect, maybe because it's a traveling game, they didn't expect much of a crowd, but poorly booked, to be honest with you.
Yeah. No, yeah. I'll go Collingwood.
Mm. And then the last game, Adelaide in Adelaide versus Brisbane. That's a tough one, man.
This is the hardest one to tip.
Mm.
Ooh. You know what? Adelaide.
Okay.
Adelaide. Brisbane didn't really impress me.
Oh, there you go. Fair enough.
Gold Coast was just that bad.
That's fair.
Are we doing a gauntlet thing?
Nah, because we stuffed it up when we did North in the first time. We don't have to do one of those anymore. I'm glad. I can't be bothered. It's too much to think about and
fair enough.
To edit as well. So we're not doing it, man. But yeah, there we go. We've gone through our tips. I think we'll finish it off there unless you've got some concluding comments, Dino, you know.
I was looking through my notes in case I missed anything because I wasn't really looking at it. The one thing I didn't really mention, flowers for Duggan.
Yeah, you know what?
That's just the one comment. I think I touched on everything here, even without looking at it. But the one thing I forgot, flowers for Duggan.
Okay, yeah. We're going to end it on a high.
Let's end it on that.
Flowers for Duggan. Thank you guys very much for listening. Yeah, Dino, welcome back.
Good to be back. Thanks, everyone.
Yeah, and we'll see you guys in the next one. Yeah.
See you then.
West Coast, put it into the hot spot, into the 50. And Harley Reid! Oh, my! Soaring from the heavens! If you're wondering if the hype was real... Here's your proof! My